This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this is hour number two. So we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Eli Gold, the voice of Alabama, is going to join us. We're going to start previewing this week the four teams that are vying for the national championship. As we continue, we'll have Georgia and Michigan tomorrow, and then Cincinnati on Thursday. We're both off on Friday for the holidays, so we're going to kind of wrap that up pretty soon. I can't wait to talk to Eli Gold about Alabama, because I think Alabama's had one of the more unique seasons where people were sort of wondering where this team was going in after the Iron Bowl. And, you know, their loss to Texas A&M. And did they look Alabama-ish at times this season? They looked a little bit more vulnerable at times. And as I said, and we'll talk to Eli about this, you know, Alabama is compared to other Alabama teams. We don't really do that with anybody else in college football. We sort of compare teams to other teams that particular season. Is Michigan as good as Ohio State? Is Ohio State as good as Alabama? Where is Clemson going to be? What about USC? What about Oklahoma? And we all kind of compare them, except with Alabama. With Alabama, we go, hey, how does this team look compared to other teams that have won national championships for Nick Saban, including last year or the year before? Got a new quarterback, got guys who went on to the NFL. How are they going to be replaced? That's the way we view the Crimson Tide. So I'm going to be curious to see how this season has progressed. At what point did we feel like, you know, hey, look, maybe Alabama isn't the Alabama of old, until they did show up at the SEC championship game and reminded us of what Nick Saban can do when he has his team really prepared for you, your opponent, and that was against Georgia. He'll play a Cincinnati team that is coming in undefeated and coming in that, you know, has got some really, really talented players, but Alabama's favored in this game by 13.5 points. That's a lot. That's a lot. And in all likelihood, we'll be playing once again for the national championship in a season where you felt like maybe the tide was turning in the SEC and it was going to Kirby Smart and Georgia over in Athens. But that's not the case. It still remains solidly with Alabama. But they still got two games to go. All right, coming up, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio, at Tony D Radio on Twitter, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's, as we roll along on a Tuesday.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, bad, the dumb Tuesday edition as we continue on Wake Up. Hey, don't forget, we got top five, bottom five coming up in hour number three as well.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
See, last week was hard because I didn't do it. I did a top five, bottom five, but yeah. I had to wait till like Wednesday.
Yeah, one of those situations where
I had
to keep going
games,
back and forth.
Two games on Tuesday night. It was a mess. All right, what's the good of the day, Ron Culver?
I got to give it to Super Mario.
Super Mario?
Not the game.
Oh.
Mario Lemieux. You
what
remember
has he
him?
Done now? I love Mario Lemieux.
Well, he is going to gain about an estimated $360 million.
Wow.
Because the Penguins couldn't pay him in 1998.
So they couldn't pay him in 1998, so he gets 360?
Yeah. Now, this isn't a Bobby Bonilla situation.
No. But
basically, what happened was back in the early 90s, or late 90s, I think it was the early 90s, his contract was up for renewal. The ownership group for the Penguins had to declare bankruptcy because they just kept losing money over and over and over again. Well, and the largest debtor that they had was Mario Lemieux. They had to pay him $26 million. Well, instead, Mario said, hey, why don't you give me some ownership stake in lieu of paying me, I think he was owed like another $20 million or something like that, and, you know, became a minority owner in the Penguins. You remember that?
Right.
So he was a minority owner, and then, you know, he got an investment group, and then they kind of became the majority owner. Well, the Penguins just recently sold to the Fenway Sports Group, which will net him roughly $360 million.
Wow, great. Good job, Mario Lemieux.
Yeah. I don't think he had that foresight.
No, but still.
You know, being okay with saying, hey, I understand you guys can't pay me my salary. Let's do this instead. You know, turns out $360 million later, that's actually a good move on his part.
It is amazing. That is amazing. Because, you know, look, I think if you were, we talked about this with Bonilla, right? Like, a lot of these athletes are putting themselves in deferred payment situations now.
Yeah.
Where they're like, look, I've made a lot of money. I gotten a lot of money. But you know what? In the future, I could use this, you know, and just, this was an opportunity. Look, you're right. Mario Lemieux probably in the late 90s probably said, give me some ownership. Why not? You've paid me enough. I got money in the bank. I got investments. Yeah,
picture this. I mean, he's living in Pittsburgh. Probably, you know, the cost of living in Pittsburgh probably isn't that great.
Yeah.
Even if he was to get $6 million, just like, you know, based on that, he could probably turn that into a great lifestyle in Pittsburgh.
Sure, absolutely.
And then take that other $20 million and say, well, put it in the ownership group. And that ownership group that he was a part of actually turned the franchise around. They became very profitable.
Yeah.
And
great.
Now, I think the team itself recently sold for like $900 million.
And they got Sidney Crosby and they won a couple of cups.
Yeah. And as owner, he's the only person to have a Stanley name on the Stanley Cup as a player and as an owner.
Wow, they put everybody's name on that cup?
They did, everybody.
They put the trainer on there too and everybody? Does everybody
maybe
get their name on the cup?
I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah.
How big is that cup? I mean, I've never seen it in person. It's one of my...
It's got to keep growing, right? Or do they just make the name smaller?
They take the rings off. They take the rings off. So you get, when the ring is complete, it's taken off with the new rings over there. But how many names do they put on the Stanley Cup?
All of them.
Everybody that had
like 20 names. I was reading somewhere, I can't remember the guy's name, but there is a Montreal Canadian player back like in the 50s or 60s whose name appears on there four times. And it's misspelled all four times.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I love that. And I have a last name that gets misspelled often. So yeah. I would love if
that
I could
was
point
his
out
issue. He has
to
a,
my relatives.
He has a last name that, you know, I think everyone just always had fun with.
Yeah. I would be like, look, that's how they spelled it back in 1996. That's how they spelled it in 2001. I'd love that. That would be great. That would be good for Mario Lemieux. All right. So what's the bat of the day?
The bat of the day is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
Astrophysicist, and I do believe professional troller.
I do too.
So the reason why he is in the bat of the day, because he went full Grinch Christmas Day.
I think I responded to this tweet.
Did you? Well, it was a
I
series
think I
of
did.
Tweets.
Well, and I think just... I know I responded to one, but I don't know which one you're talking about.
Well,
so
I'm talking about all of them. Basically, he explained how, you know, what we think of Christmas, how it's impossible. Every little facet of Christmas that you can think of, dealing with the North Pole, Santa Claus, reindeer, everything is virtually impossible.
Yeah.
Realistically impossible.
He did the one where the male reindeers don't have antlers and stuff like that. Like I went,
He talked
they
about
fly
how
either Neil.
He talked about how since the North Arctic is just ocean, Santa's North Pole workshop has only ever existed on a floating sheet of ice. So pine trees and snow-capped hills would never be the case. Maybe if we left carrots, celery, and hot tea on the table instead of milk and cookies, I bet he'd be much, much thinner.
Way to go, Neil. Way to go.
Yeah, for Santa to deliver the gifts to all world's Christians in one night requires hypersonic speed through Earth's lower atmosphere, vaporizing its reindeer and sleigh.
Oh, that's great.
So, yeah, he went full Grinch.
He was also the guy I told you about a while ago that killed the idea of the flying car.
Yeah.
Because he was on Joe Rogan and he said, we kind of have flying cars. They're called helicopters. And by the way, I don't really like the way he speaks sometimes. Like, he kind of does that dramatic thing. Like, and he also speaks... He does that thing that scientists tend to do a lot, philosophy professor, like the where he says it's important to know just enough that you don't know anything, like that kind of way of talking where it's almost like talking in a circle, like it's just weird. But he was the one that said that you can't have a flying car because the amount of force that you would need to launch a car in the air would be so incredible that if you had a bunch of cars doing it, it would be so disruptive.
What if he's wrong?
It would be practical. I know. What if he's
wrong? What if he's wrong?
What if we find a new science that can help us with the flying car
right.
situation?
You don't
but
know,
yeah,
Neil.
So I responded to him about the reindeer because I was like, yeah. they don't fly, and Santa's magic gives them antlers. Everybody knows this.
Actually, this one did make me laugh, though. Santa surely keeps track of how many hours pass and how long the elf union allows them to work. But on the North Pole, where all time zones meet, the actual time of day has no meaning.
God, he's... Oh, my God.
Yeah, sometimes you can just be too smart, right?
Yeah. Do you know how he became famous?
Just being a professional troller?
Yeah, well, he had an interesting story behind that. So what he did, he was working in New York City, and what he said the key to his success was always being available and letting the networks know it. So he would tell all the networks, if you need a science person to explain anything, lunar eclipse, anything that was going on that you need some science, I'm always available. And he would leave his office, get in a cab, drive down, go to Midtown, go to the studios and talk about whatever was going on in science that he knew about.
And now we look at him as one of the smartest people on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. And he just said that was his key. He realized that he was in New York and, it was the media capital of the world. And if he was always available, and we know this because we get guys on all the time.
Yeah.
They're always saying yes. So we always go, great, in a pinch, we'll get you. In a pinch, they would call him up and say, hey, well, could you boogie down here in the next half hour and come on with us to talk about the lunar eclipse or this or the space shuttle or whatever the heck it was. And he said, and he would always say yes. All the time. And so that's how he became a household name. What's the dumb of the day?
I think we're entering... I don't know if we've really talked about this before or looked at it this way, but I think it's becoming a problem. And my dumb of the day is a question to you or to everyone out there.
Yes.
Do we really need to know what Tom Brady thinks about the Patriots every single time?
No, we don't. And I'm glad you brought that up.
And here's the reason why I bring this up, too, because recently, I think this was on Sunday, there was a reporter that asked Bill Belichick a question. She was asking all these people questions. I'm going to play the question for you.
Right.
Because, I mean, the response is typical Bill Belichick. All right. So here's the question, and then we'll go on after that.
Hi. Football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers?
Yeah. No, not right now.
Okay. Thanks.
Maybe next week.
So, you know, Belichick is kind of sour at this point because he just lost to the Bills.
Right.
And everyone is raving about how brave this reporter is for asking this question. I don't know about bravery. You know, maybe she is doing a story and she was asking all the Patriots. You know, she's doing a New England story about, hey, New Year's resolutions. Yeah. Here's what the Patriots think. But because this was asked and because she asked it to Bill Belichick during a time where, you know, Belichick will usually defer to on to Cincinnati type speak, we need to get Tom Brady's opinion on it, who has nothing to do with the team anymore.
So somebody asked Tom Brady what he thought about Belichick's response to this question?
Yeah, and the response that he gave was, I want to be as brave and courageous as she was asking that question to Coach Belichick after a loss. That's what I want for the new year.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good answer, though. But we don't need, you're right,
but
we don't need to ask Tom Brady every time.
I mean, I know that there's always going to be a connection with the Patriots, that when he goes in, if this was the Baseball Hall of Fame, he would certainly be going in with a Patriots hat on.
Yeah.
Right? But, I mean, at some point, we got to just stop. He's a Buccaneer now.
You know what? I'd love to go back and see the media with Brett Favre, right? Was Brett Favre asked every 2 minutes about anything that was going on with the Packers?
Yeah, when he was with the Jets or the Vikings?
Yeah, like when he was on those teams and there would be something, whatever it was, that would go on with the Vikings. The Packers, would they ask him that? Would they always, maybe they were, and I wasn't, you know, because I wasn't in that local media market, but I think you're right. I think they're... I know Brady doesn't want to be rude or anything like that, but at the same time, I would say, like, look, yeah, I kind of play for this team now.
Yeah,
like,
you were living there. Was Peyton Manning always asked about the Colts?
Yeah, right. No, it wasn't. It just I think there's a moment where you go, hey, I play for the Buccaneers and whatever. I just don't know what to tell you.
And maybe I'm looking into this news, but I just always feel like if there's a Patriots story out there, we got to get Tom Brady's opinion on it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I, the first year, I can almost excuse it, but by year two, let's move on. Let's get him out. Let's get him in
the Super Bowl ring with the Buccaneers. Yeah. Like, he's in Buccaneer folklore, and he's like breaking Buccaneer quarterback records.
Are you going to ask him about the mayoral race? Are you going to ask him about some legislation that got passed in Massachusetts? Like, leave it alone. Like, he's playing for the Buccaneers now. Like, you don't have to ask him every Patriot question that's out there. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Eli Gold's joining us in 15 minutes. We'll talk Alabama as they get ready for Cincinnati at the Cotton Bowl in Arlington at AT&T Stadium as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I have a car problem, but don't know where to go. Maybe you're on a road trip when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. With O'Reilly Auto Parts Shop Referral Program, take a guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'ReillyAuto.com and click Find a Repair Shop to find a reputable repair facility or service center for your repairs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Again, Eli Gold, voice of Alabama, coming up in about 12 minutes. I want to get back to that Bill Belichick question. An answer. I think it's a perfect example of something I've said many, many times on this show. When a reporter asks a question that has an obvious answer or seems like a dumb question or whatever, and I always feel like I got to give you a little inside baseball on this. Sometimes you have to ask the question, even if you know the answer and you know your audience knows the answer and your readers know the answer, because you need them, the person you're asking, you need them to say it, right? You need the quote. Right. And so that's why you ask questions that seem like, why are you asking that dumb question? Seems duh. I think that's a perfect example of that. She's doing a story on New Year's resolutions. And you're right. She probably got sent to the game, asked some Patriots about New Year's resolutions. And she asks Belichick. And Belichick gives that answer. You know what? That's the answer. Like, she can use that. He didn't give her a resolution, but that's material for her work. Like, she could write that down and make a funny joke about it, or just let it sit there and let it marinate, whatever it may be. But that's the answer. Instead of saying, you know, Bill's not going to answer this question because he comes off a loss, and I know that he doesn't answer questions like this after a loss, I'm not going to ask it. She actually did the right thing. Ask it anyway. One, he may surprise you. He may say, hey, actually I do. I want to lose weight. I want to, read more, and I want to visit, some Civil War battlefields. I don't know, whatever. He may shock you, but he also may do what he just did in that quote, which was, no, not now, maybe next week. That's an answer. It may not be the greatest answer, but it's one, and you can use it in your piece. So kudos for her for asking that question. Kudos for her for not backing down and thinking, well, there's a time and a place for a question like this. No, just ask it. What's the worst that's going to happen is he's going to say what he just said, right? And people are saying, oh, yeah, if anybody else asked that question, Belichick would have ripped him a new one. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever heard Bill Belichick rip a reporter in the 20 years he's been head coach of the New England Patriots? I mean, rip a reporter in anger.
No.
Never.
I've heard him.
He's been surly.
Yeah, make snide comments to make you feel dumb.
He's never had the Jim Mora playoffs. He's never had that. He's never had the Dennis Green. And they were.
I mean, maybe he did with the Browns, and we just don't. But I feel like,
I don't even think he did the Browns. Yeah, I don't think he has that personality.
Well, if he did, we would have, that video would have definitely surfaced by now.
I don't think he has that personality. I don't think he goes to that level. I saw Bill Parcells rip a guy. I was at the press conference when I was younger, covering a Patriots game, when a reporter asked Bill Parcells if he outcoached Pete Carroll. And Parcells was insulted by the question because he respected Pete Carroll and he respects coaches in the NFL. He told that guy, that was a BS question. Beep, beep, beep. Did any of these writers outright you? Like, he kind of exploded on him. I don't see Belichick doing that. Like, Belichick will blow it off. He will act kind of rudely. He'll act like he's above it. But I never see him get angry. Like he yells at a reporter. Like, he's been, don't get me wrong, he's been cursed. He's not polite. But he doesn't rip a guy. He doesn't tear a guy to pieces. He'll just blow it off and act in like, ugh, what is that? I'm not going to answer that. You know what I mean? That's his approach. And I don't think he did that here. I don't think he did that here. She asked it. He didn't want to answer it. It was off a loss. It's probably not on the front of his mind. And he probably, to be honest with you, didn't want to give an answer where he's just like, I don't know, lose weight. I don't know. Like, he'd rather just go, you know what? No, not now. Not now. And that's good. Good. That's a good answer. So, but yeah, she is kind of brave, though. I will tell you, that is kind of a brave question. Because I will tell you this, when I was at that press conference, I didn't ask anything. Bill Parcells.
But if she doesn't normally attend these press conferences, no. And really doesn't know Bill Belichick, as we know Bill Belichick, I don't know if it's a brave question then.
Maybe not. You're right. You're right. She's not dealing with him on a regular basis, she's probably like, I'll just ask this question.
I mean, I'm going to assume she's heard of him. Belichick is one of those people in sports that's a household name.
Yeah.
So that you probably have heard of him. But, you mean, does she really know that he'll typically answer a question like, you know, we're on to Cincinnati.
Right.
We're on to Seattle. And, you know, exactly. Never gives an answer. I mean, he even said there towards the end, which is kind of new. He said maybe next week. You know, like giving her a little bit of hope.
Come back next week.
You know, giving her a little hope, and you're sitting there looking at it like, wow, has Belichick really changed that much?
Maybe after we win, I'll give you 3 or 4.
Yeah.
But he also knows next week is January 2nd. He's probably be like, eh.
I'll have him figured out by then.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And don't get me wrong. Like,
tell you the ones I've already failed at.
We know that there are people like there was many years ago. Remember Greg Oden played for the Portland Trailblazers?
Do I?
Yeah. Remember Greg Oden? Yeah.
Yeah.
Greg Oden, there was some pictures that were leaked of him naked, and he was addressing it. Like, they were asking him a question about it. He didn't want to answer it because they were embarrassing. They were like on his phone. You know, it was one of those things like Brett Favre, you know, that thing. And there was like one woman and she said, oh, well, some women are very impressed, Greg. And Greg was like, ugh. Like, and it was later determined, like, she was from one of those, like, wacky morning zoo shows that they sort of sent to ask about this. And, you know, you could, in those situations, you can read the situation. You know what I mean? You can sense, like, this is a crazy morning zoo team that has sent somebody to ask a crazy question. Right. Like, she normally didn't attend Portland Trailblazer press conferences. She somehow just showed up. She then brings up the, hey, women are impressed with your naked pictures. And it made that morning zoo's material. I've been in those kind of press conferences where there's been somebody from that kind of thing. And you kind of go, ugh, she doesn't sound like one of those. Like, she's not there to try to elicit, like, if Bill Belichick had said, yeah, actually, one of my New Year's resolutions is to, again, visit Civil War battlefields because I'm a history buff. Like, she would have wrote that in the piece. Like, she wasn't trying to get a crazy Belichick nutty soundbite to use on a, you know, on Mad Dog and the Coach, you know, whatever it was. You know, that's not what she was trying to do. If he had answered it, like, and given her 3 or 4 things or 2 or 3 or 1 thing, she would have just used it in the piece. She might use that in the piece, as I mentioned.
Well, earlier. It sounds like, I mean, to me, she's probably compiling a bunch of Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, New Year's resolution answers. And so here's what they do. You know, like those frequent things you used to see, like in your student and your school newspaper.
Her editor couldn't have picked a worse game to go send her on that assignment.
How did we know they were going to lose?
Yeah, this weekend, go to the Patriots and ask them a bunch of New Year's resolutions, and then they lose. Oh, goodness. Eli Gold's going to join us next. We'll talk Alabama and Cincinnati coming up Friday at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas. That's next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket Can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Semifinals coming up on Friday, Alabama taking on Cincinnati, Cotton Bowl in Arlington, Texas. Let's go out to the Progressive Guests line, get a preview on Alabama. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. The voice of the Crimson Tide, Mr. Eli Gold, joining us here on Sports Map Radio. How are you, sir?
I am well, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can I just tell you real quick, when I was coming home from Thanksgiving from visiting my folks in Florida, and we cut through, I live in Nashville, when I cut through Alabama through the state roads, and I happened to do it on the Saturday of the Iron Bowl, and I got to listen to you and your team do the whole game all the way back home, and nobody was on the road. It was one of the coolest experiences to drive through most of the state of Alabama listening to you and your team call that Iron Bowl. It was a real treat. You guys do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, but you're right. In the state of Alabama, Iron Bowl Saturday is like it's like Christmas Day. Everybody's home, glued to a TV or a radio, and nobody's out on the roads. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this team. And I've been saying this about Alabama this season. When we go into the college football season, we tend to compare teams to other teams. We say, how good is Ohio State compared to Michigan? Or how is Clemson compared to Ohio State? But with Alabama, it seems like we compare Alabama to other Alabama teams. How is this team compared to other national championship level teams that Nick Saban has had?
Well, you know, I don't know how to compare them. It's a much younger team. Let's start with that. Let's just go to the facts and forget the subjectiveness for the moment. This was one of the youngest teams that Nick Saban has ever had at the University of Alabama. So that was something he's had to deal with. You know, you lose, you know, eight guys a year to the National Football League, if not more than that. Well, the next thing you know, after a while, you know, the numbers, you end up with a bunch of young guys, very talented guys, but very young guys. So that's probably been, you know, the big thing this year. You didn't have a Mac Jones. You didn't have a Devontae Smith as far as experience is concerned. You lost three offensive linemen who are now starting in the National Football League. So that was probably the biggest difference. As far as talent is concerned, well, this is obviously a very, very talented team. And Alabama is one of those teams that really benefits from the transfer portal. We learned that this year. You know, people don't necessarily leave Alabama because you want to stay here and be and do what you can do. But there are plenty of other guys who want to come to Alabama. Look, Jameson Williams, our second-best receiver this year, was a transfer from Ohio State. Our number one tackler, Henry To'o To'o, was a transfer from the University of Tennessee. So that was another thing we learned, is how Nick Saban uses the transfer portal to benefit his ball club.
Let's talk about Cincinnati here a little bit. They have a very good secondary. Saban has said that this is a very, very talented group. What is other Alabama players saying? And what has Bryce Young been saying about what Cincinnati does in that secondary?
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, between Bryant and Gardner, you've got arguably the two best cornerbacks in America. But, you know, there are a lot of things that come to mind. I remember a number of years ago when Alabama lined up against LSU and the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. You remember him.
Yeah.
You know, the guy was obviously one of the absolute best defensive backs in the country. And what did Alabama do? They went right at him. They went right at him. Play after play, they went right at him. And that worked very, very well as Bama won the title. Just a few weeks ago in the SEC championship game, you know, let's face it, the Georgia Bulldogs had a once-in-a-lifetime kind of defense. But when you started breaking it down and preparing, in my case, for the broadcast, or in the coach's case, preparing for the game, you realize that as great as Georgia's defense was and still is, they really at that point had not seen an offense the likes of Alabama. And it obviously, you know, it turned out, I mean, here's a school that had given up 88 points all year in the case of Georgia, and they gave up 41 on that day alone. Well, you know, Cincinnati is a very, very, very good team. Very good team. Take nothing from them. But, you know, I just wonder how many times have they seen an offense the likes of what Alabama can throw at them on Friday. So it'll be a very intriguing game, but our players are totally, totally respectful of what the Cincinnati Bearcats have done. You don't get to, I don't care who you play. I don't care what conference. I don't care, Power Five, Group of Five, whatever. If you've made it to the playoffs, as voted by a very intelligent committee, you don't get there by accident. You've earned your way there.
Give us a little insight into how this coaching staff takes this team in a week of preparation, because that Iron Bowl was a tough, hard-fought loss. There were a lot of issues with Alabama. People were ready to go, hey, we're not really sure about this. This game against Georgia, this is historic defense. And then they go to Atlanta and they put on that show that reminds us that they're Alabama. That's a week between games. How do they go from saying, here's a lot of problems that we saw against Auburn, here's how we fix it, and here's how we dominate Georgia?
Well, you know, it's an outstanding coaching staff. I mean, look at all the NFL head coaches that Alabama has on their coaching staff right now. You know, Nick Saban, Bill O'Brien, Doug Marrone. I mean, the list goes on and on. It is an outstanding, outstanding coaching staff. So, you know, that's what they do, and they do the same thing every week. Yeah, they won at Auburn in a last-minute drive down the field. But they found a way to win. The players have, you know, that ability, as we always compare it to a heavyweight boxer. You know, they pick themselves up off the canvas to throw that one haymaker and knock the other guy out. Well, you know, they found the way to do that. They, you know, the best thing, you're going to think this is crazy, Tony, but the best thing to happen to Alabama this year was losing at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
That was the best thing that happened. It got everybody zeroed back in, dialed back in, and the coaches took over from there, and it continued. And again, the Georgia game, you're not going to, I don't care who you think the greatest team in life is, you're going to lose some games. You're going to, you know, I don't care if you're an Atlanta Braves fan, a Yankees fan. I don't care if you're a fan of the great Montreal Canadiens of years gone by. You know, you're going to have that occasional day. You know, look at the Lakers. You know, you're going to have that occasional day where you're just not at your best. And you find a way to win, and then you learn from that to get much better for the next game. And that's what Alabama does.
You brought up Jamison Williams, and obviously he's going to be impactful. John Michie is out. How is that going to affect the passing game for Bryce Young?
Well, it won't help having Michie on the sidelines. There's no question about that. You're not going to be better without him than you are with him. However, there are many young, uber-talented wide receivers that Alabama has, not to mention the tight ends who can catch passes. So, you know, there are guys who are going to have to step up. It's the next man up mentality. You know, it's the next man up. Is the team going to be better without John Metchie? No, certainly not. But, you know, they're not going to be chopped liver either. I mean, there's some very, very, very talented. You know, Slade Bolden has played well all year, so he's still there behind Jamison Williams. Then you have Trayshawn Holden and Ajay Hall. I mean, all these guys that Alabama has who maybe haven't gotten a ton of playing time, but we've seen them on the practice field. We've seen them in some of these games where they have played. And trust me, they're very, very talented. So, you know, the next man has to step up. That's just part of the deal.
Cincinnati has Jerome Ford, who's had a very good season. He used to play for Alabama. How much playing time did he have when he was with the Crimson Tide? How much do we know about him?
Oh, a lot about him. But not a ton. You know, at Alabama, and I say this not to sound pompous, but you have to wait your turn.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, look at Mac Jones, last year, who's now obviously the quarterback for the Patriots. Last year, he gets a chance to finally play, and he wins the national title. But he had to wait behind Jalen Hurts. He had to wait behind Tua Tagovailoa. And then finally he got his chance, and he took advantage of it. Well, Ford's the same thing. He had to wait, and I guess he felt he was better off playing immediately somewhere else. And you've got to respect that decision. A very talented young man, no question about it. And, you know, he's done a heck of a job for Cincinnati. He'll be a, you know, and he's going to be, you know, he's going to be psyched up to show the Tide that he should have been playing the whole time when he was in Tuscaloosa. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. But he's a hugely talented running back.
He's the voice of the Alabama Crimson Tide, Mr. Eli Gold. Thank you so much for joining us, and I always love talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. Good to be with you.
You got it. Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tides. They get ready for Cincinnati. Coming up on Friday, it is going to be at Arlington, at the Cotton Bowl in Jerry's World. And again, as you mentioned, you know, they're not taking Cincinnati lightly, and they shouldn't. And I don't think Saban is ever going to be doing that with anybody. He's just not that kind of coach, especially as he said. You go 13-0, you go 13-0. It doesn't matter. Group of five, power five, 13-0 is 13-0. So again, this could be interesting. I don't know if Cincinnati keeps this close, but because I agree with him at the same time. I mean, this is a secondary that is really good, but they've never played anybody like Alabama. Georgia had not seen an offense like Alabama when it clicked. And until he got to the SEC title game, that's when it showcased. And that's what I think is going to be the difference. It is Wake Up Call, Tony D, Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue on Wake Up Call.
SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. And this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. You know, mortgage that fits your life, Rocket can. Eli Gold, thanks. I like Eli a lot. I think he's a really good announcer. I think he's a really good play-by-play guy. And you know what? He does that thing that college, especially at the college level, you really have to do. You have to be part of the team. Like, it has to be part, the way he talked about it, he said, our players, our team, our coaches. Like, you really have to, infuse yourself into the program because that's what your fan base wants. I mean, you want to feel like we're all in this together. Fans, me, the team, the coaches.
Yep.
We're all in it together.
We win together. We lose together.
Yeah. He does.
We'll laugh and cry together.
He does a really good job. He does a really, really good job. He was a NASCAR voice for a long time. He was a hockey guy for it's one of his original gigs. He went down to Birmingham for a hockey gig way back in the day, and became one of the top Alabama announcers. Motorsports, Alabama football, all of that. Being the voice of Alabama football has got to be cool this time of year, huh?
That stunk
when like Mike Shula was there. And they were losing. They were going like 6-6.
There were probably days he had trouble getting out of bed.
Right?
Like, oh, it's Saturday again. All right. Well,
ugh.
Guess I'll drive down to the stadium. Can't complain, right?
Now you're going to Atlanta every December for the SEC championship game.
He could. I mean, he was on the road there. Maybe he's driving right now.
Yeah, going to the national championship, all these playoffs. It's great. He's right about their coaching staff, though. Think about it. Think about how many, in the last couple of years.
I didn't really put it. I haven't thought about their coaching staff. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Saban just goes, hey, man, come over here. Like, chill out here until whatever it is that is in your life that is going to come up comes up. You know? Like, remember Steve Sarkisian, right? Gets fired at USC. Lane Kiffin.
Yep.
Same thing. It's like, Kate, just chill out here for a bit. Just come to Tuscaloosa. put you on the coaching staff. We'll get you doing something and let it play out to however it plays out, right? Doug Marrone, he said Doug Marrone's on the staff. Doug Marrone will probably get back into the NFL at some point.
Doug Marrone's just the offensive line coach, by the way.
Yeah, right, right? Exactly, he's just the offensive line coach.
I'm looking it up. He's just the offensive line coach.
That's so true. That's so true, right? So Doug Marrone's agent's probably just waiting around, because I think Doug Marrone did a – I mean, he was okay in Jacksonville.
He
should be on an NFL coaching staff. Like, he should be an offensive coordinator, whatever his thing is.
He was head coach at Syracuse, right?
Yeah, at Syracuse, too. Yeah.
So now he's the offensive line coach.
So you just chill out at Alabama with Nick Saban until something clicks, till the coaching tree kicks in,
yeah,
and they give you a call.
So you got Robert Gillespie is the running backs coach.
Come on, man. He's totally right. Bill O'Brien, right? It's like, I'll stop at Nick's place for a year or two and chill out. But think about the offensive coordinators over the last couple of years, all on championship-level teams. Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Bill O'Brien now. I mean, he's gotten some great coaches who have done, you know, just come in, coach a little offense, move on, something else, while Bill O'Brien waits his turn in the coaching carousel. Good for Nick. But, yeah, and he's right. That coaching staff took that team, barely beat Auburn, at Auburn, 4 overtimes, and got them so prepared for Georgia. It was sick how good they were against the Bulldogs. It's a wake-up call.